Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for. It might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, my dear friends, and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Tonight we're flying through a tropical rainstorm. The water beads on the windshield, and far below us the trees toss in the wind, drinking in the intoxicating nourishment of Lady Nature. We bring salutations and galactic hellos from Arcturus and the Sirius Cluster, from your friends from afar during this tense and transforming period of Earth history. All hell is breaking loose, and it looks like September really was the gateway to a whole new section of the movie. I'm not disturbed, but it seems like I ought to be. While Russia is administering surgical strikes in Syria, America has been busy destroying a hospital staffed by Doctors Without Borders in Afghanistan and killing over 20 people while injuring somewhere around 100. Only a few of the crass media news sites have even reported on this. Yes, we have entered a whole new phase, and everything that the Israeli banker-run Western forces had planned has been stopped in its tracks, unless they had planned this too, but I tend to doubt it. Certainly the weapons and munitions manufacturers are delighted. Carlisle is probably orgasmic. And the bankers, well, they get by regardless, don't they? It's raining hard right now. I guess you can hear that. And sorry about last week's non-show. Sometimes that happens, and I have no choice about it. I'm not allowed to, and I wasn't allowed to last week. It's hard to get your head around the idea that cultured men in suits devote themselves every day to the murder of countless souls around the world for the purpose of financial gain. It's true, though. The Rothschilds, the Schiffs, the Warburgs, and all those other banking families have been at it for generations. It's said that the Rothschild dynasty came fully into being during the French retreat from Waterloo. As the story goes, the Rothschilds received advance notice of the outcome and bet a fortune on the results, while everyone else was under the impression that the battle would or was going the other way. It's kind of like what that evil Rothschild lackey and full-time Satanist, little Georgie Soros, did with the Bank of England. Of course, so many of these things are arranged ahead of time and then publicized as something other in order to drum up the business of speculating investors with a full coat of wool for the shearing. The thing with most of the high-end bankers and corporate thugs is that they have set these things up to begin with the same way that Goldman Sachs manipulates the markets every day. They already know what's going on, and as I just said, they arrange it to begin with. Well, Mr. Apocalypse is most definitely on the set now, and everything hidden is having the lid ripped right off of it, and that accounts for the burgeoning chaos that is manifesting before the eyes of the world. As the song goes, the heat is on. This means that what is going to come before the eyes of the world will not be obscured by the fireworks going off all around it. The heart of the darkness of the soul of evil is being drawn and stretched like a hyena skin over the cosmic drum of awakening. God, I can't believe I just said that. It could happen again, folks, so keep those surgically altered Doberman ears perked and pointed. There's no telling what you might hear here or how little or how much sense it might make, because along with talking about the things seen from this particular and peculiar perspective, we are required to provide some level of entertainment, especially considering how grim and explosive things appear at the moment. Imagine, if you can, all the major powers are concentrated in and around Syria at this moment. It is like something out of an Armageddon movie, and the world's biggest false flag industry has its main manufacturing plant right next door in Israel. At any moment, something could happen to toss the whole area into a flaming conflagration. Strangely, as powerful as this circumstance is, the general populations of the world seem either mute or distracted, and they've got plenty to be distracted by and about. Europe is being flooded with refugees from the Turkish camps, where Tayyip Yippee-ki-yay Erdogan has arranged for their migration west. Of course, Erdogan is only following the orders and blueprints of Soros, who is following the orders of Rothschild, who is following the orders of the Prince of Darkness, who works for the ineffable, if that makes any sense. What that means is that the whole movie is in the hands of the cosmic director, and that no matter which way the conditions shift, it all works in accord with the plans of the ineffable. We are all being challenged in one way or another, and our reactions are being registered by the recording angel. To the degree that we have engaged in self-inquiry and righteous devotion, to that degree we will be correctly informed as to the meaning of it all and how we are meant to handle it all, if at all, if at all. As tragic as it all looks, and it looks pretty awful depending on where you're standing, and even though we probably don't understand it, it's all necessary. The one thing you can count on in the Kali Yuga is that debts will be settled. It is the age of payback and karmic resolution, and some of what is taking place has to do with things that happened well before this period of recorded history. I read in the book, The Way to the Kingdom, that long ago, in a time that we have no history of, there was a period of evil so great that it permeated every atom of the material plane. No details were given. Simply that, and it was said that what is happening in this time has much to do with that. I know it's like it always seems to be, where things happen and we get no clear explanation for them. It seems like we walk in darkness so much of the time and can't see what's in front of us, much less what is inside of us. I guess that's what the glass darkly thing is all about, and that comment about when I was a child, I thought and spoke as a child. Scripture seems to have words for everything, but understanding it in its intended sense is not easy, because it requires revelation consciousness, where one comes into the consciousness of the one who authored the scripture, and that is the reason for devotional practice, prayer and meditation, and a consistent burning, yearning for the ineffable to come into your heart and mind and manifest as an awareness that is singular to the ineffable's presence in your particular consciousness. Even though it becomes cosmic consciousness, it is still realized in you in a unique and specific way. This is what you must seek after with a greater passion than anything else. In fact, that is the key. You must want it more than anything else, and it will be yours. And the greater your trials and tribulations, the greater will be your reward at the end of the ride. So this should inspire confidence in you, knowing that whatever the cost to you may be, it will be worth it. I have to tell myself this much of the time, especially lately when it sometimes seems so grim and so dark and all manner of invisible force comes down on my mind, seeking to suck me into the vortexes of confusion and despair. I cannot surrender to that, so I surrender to that which I know is beyond all of it, and yet also within the deepest heart of me. I know that whether I can see it or not, and whether I can hear the inner voice or not, that it is within me and that it is moving with me and experiencing with me, and whatever I'm going through, the ineffable is going through it with me. I'm never alone and you are never alone. It only seems that we are alone, and that is one of the great tests we encounter, and the scenario designed to strengthen our faith. Everything that happens, happens for a reason. Think about those who are imprisoned at this very moment. Think about their loved ones who have to endure the indignities of all those searches and the cost in time and travel, and especially those who are innocent of any real crimes and possibly no crimes at all. But there is a reason for that too. There is a reason for those who live in all those danger zones, for all those countless difficulties and liabilities and powerful illusions which captivate the minds of those mesmerized by what is not real, but which has established itself in their consciousness as real. This, too, is all a part of the process, and all of us have some scars that veil our eyes from what is true, and all of our long struggles through the darkness, somehow, some way, there is a reason for it, and the reason is you. If you are struggling for the light, then help is around you and within you. And you must believe this. You must have the necessary faith, certitude, and determination to carry you through. And in no time has there been greater opportunity for liberation than there is right now. That is precisely why it is so hard, because the prize is so great. Yes, you and I fail every day to achieve harmony and clarity in everything we do. Without the assistance of the ineffable, we would be doomed. As it says in Scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And also, as I am sure I have said several times before, it is by grace ye are saved through faith, yet not of yourself and not of works, lest any man should boast. We might wish we had better fortunes in this time of great misfortune. We might wish that we were as privileged as those for whom so many wonderful material things occur. It might be baffling to us why it is that so many of those who seem so unworthy are deemed worthy by the arbiters of fate. But they have simply been given what they wanted more than anything else. And as Scripture says, surely they have their reward. Is that the reward you are seeking here? To be flush with material prosperity that will only be taken from you at some point? And think of the sense of loss that comes with that. And think of what it is that you will say when you have come before the throne of the Almighty. Think of what will be said about you by the recording angel. In my own case, I have no hope except for the possibility of grace conferred, because I love the Lord enough to warrant it. Because I have been attentive to this to some degree, I am assailed to some degree so that I might lose faith and despair and turn away from my singular drive to host the ineffable in my heart and let the true ruler of my being be reestablished on the throne of my being. Because I have been inconsistent at other times, and because I tried to storm the gates of heaven and have been presumptuous in my zeal, I have made enemies, and we all have them. It's not so much that it is a personal thing, but all of those who hate the light also hate those who seek and serve the light. But none of us are given more than we can bear, no matter how much it may look like it. And as long as we know that, we will fail personally, no matter what, but that grace and love can lift us up, we will eventually get what we need. The key is not to hate ourselves and not turn our wrath upon the Almighty, who, even though he is responsible for it, is leading us by ways beyond our understanding to the surest and most direct route. We have to trust this. Speaking from my own situation, I was beaten and abused from early childhood, and I also spent time in dark prisons for doing no more than speaking out against the empire. Twice I was set up in situations in order to compromise me, and it was dark indeed the last time when I was facing life in prison with a mandatory sentence of 60 years. Somehow the ineffable took command of the whole thing, and I was set free where no one had ever been before in similar circumstances. The bad things were put there to try my faith, and the good things, what there were of them, were put there to confirm my faith. And today I do what is necessary of that which I am capable of to serve in whatever way I can, regardless of my consistent failings and how little control I have over my imagination and other things. And we have to consider that I'm alone now, too, as far as human companionship goes, and there is no me, which is a sort of interesting thing, and I can't really go into explaining it, but there is no me. That brings different kinds of problems than what might be had by many another. As I have said, we are all unique, and this particular feature in my life was a result of my Kundalini experience and is my unique condition, and it was given to me, and I must accept it. Because at the time it happened myself, whatever self I thought I knew or had was sucked out of me. And after that, I became pretty much a mirror for everyone else. That was a good thing, and that was not such a good thing as well. But along the way, I've learned a few things, thank God. I can't say I understand much about the things that happened to me or the situation that recent events have put me in. I was debt-free when I got here, and now, well, the ineffable has requested a pitcher of lemonade. How it goes, and it does go, my friends. And that brings me to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, may these words serve where possible in whatever small way that is possible, and may the flame of love for the divine be ignited in your heart, and may you find your way into that community of the kingdom of God. That's it. Greetings, my good friend Lord Ganesh. Much love, Lady Nature. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. Om Amitabha. La ilaha illallahu. And as ever, carry on, Baha'u'llah, aloha, and haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. If you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his eyes. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.